Shen. Goodbye.
Thanks, Neil. Good morning and welcome to BBC Radio 4 Extra, where we have advice on just about everything from solving crime to keeping a country estate going to pretending that you're still employed but aren't really. There's even a guide on how to murder your husband at 10, but thankfully it's very much tongue-in-cheek or perhaps poisoned pie in mouth. Then, as it happens, today's Radio 4 Extra producer is the Podcast Radio Hour presenter. And so, to tell you what we can expect at 11, here's Laura Grimshaw.
I'm going to be joined by the really rather excellent Jake Yap, and we are going to be talking about comedy podcasts. And rather excitingly, we managed to interview David Sidorov from The Onion, which is the American satirical website, and we'll be talking about A Very Fatal Murder, their podcast. And we also have a chat with the comedy writers Jason Hazley and Joel Morris, and we're talking about their podcast, Rule of Three. And I think both of them are excellent, so you should probably listen at 11.
Yes, I'm hooked already. All that at 11 with Laura Grimshaw, but now it's 6 o'clock in the morning on this Friday, the 11th of January.
This is BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Does anyone have a question?
In a moment, in the mystery which swings between London and Geneva, Paul Temple discovers that Danny Clayton and Mrs. Milbourne's stories don't tally as the suave sleuth investigates whether a dead man is really still alive. Then Sir Richard Fitzherbert of Tissington Hall talks to fellow historic house owners struggling to balance the books to keep their country estates going. The Baronet and Tissington's fight for survival is at 6:30, and at 7 there's comedy from Marlborough Road, Belfast, in Two Doors Down. And now, from 1965, it's time for the third episode of our Paul Temple and the Geneva Mystery, in which Danny Clayton is after reward money and finds an enforced channel crossing a threat.
From London, we present the Francis Durbridge serial, Paul Temple and the Geneva Mystery. Episode 3, A Note for Danny.
There's a gentleman to see you, Mr. T.
Uh-huh.
He's in the drawing room. He called about half an hour ago. Insisted on waiting, I just couldn't get rid of him.
Did he give you his name, Charlie?
Yes, he's an American gentleman, sir. A Mr. Danny Clayton.
Paul, stand here. You can see him in the mirror.
Oh, yes. That's the man Mrs. Milbourne saw. Not the man Mr. Gadd described who gave him the note.
Yes, this man's quite good-looking.
Mm. Come on, we better go in. Ah, Mr. Clayton.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Temple.
Good afternoon. This is my wife.
Nice to know you, Mrs. Temple.
Do sit down.
Thanks. I do apologize for intruding like this, but I just had to see you.
Oh?
In fact, I've come all the way from Geneva for that very purpose.
Just to see my husband?
That's right, Mrs. Temple. I'm Julia Carrington's secretary. I guess you've heard of Miss Carrington.
Who hasn't?
Yes. Well, she asked me to come over here to consult you.
Just a moment, Mr. Clayton. How did you get my address? From Mrs. Milbourne?
Mrs. Milbourne? Oh, I know.
You do know Mrs. Milbourne?
You mean the publisher's wife, Carl Milbourne? The man who was killed in a car accident?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I know her. She telephoned me at my hotel just after I arrived.
She telephoned you?
That's right. You sound surprised.
I am surprised.
Oh?
Would you mind telling me what happened, Mr. Clayton?
Of course. It was just after I arrived. I checked into my hotel in New Wilton in Park Lane, and I was taking a bath when the phone rang.
Oh, hell. Hello?
Is that Mr. Danny Clayton?
That's right.
Mr. Clayton? I understand that you're Miss Carrington's secretary.
Look, I'm taking a bath at the moment. Who is that?
My name is Margaret Milbourne.
Yes?
Well, I think you met my husband when he was in Geneva a few weeks ago. Carl Milbourne.
Oh, was that the publisher who was killed in a car accident?
Yes, that's right, except that... Mr. Clayton, I'd like to have a talk with you.
Well, look, I'm only over here for a couple of days, and my schedule's pretty tight, Mrs. Milbourne. What is it you want to see me about?
I can't tell you on the telephone. I know you're a busy man, but I really would like to see you.
Okay, I'll see you downstairs in about an hour, in the cocktail bar. How's that?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Clayton. I'll be there.
I don't know why I said I'd meet her. I guess it was because she sounded so worried. And I was, of course, acquainted with her husband.
You were?
Yes, I met the poor devil when he was in Geneva. He wanted to see Julia because he thought she was writing her memoirs.
Did Miss Carrington see him?
No, I saw him. Julia refuses to have anything to do with publishers and journalists. It's my job to give them the brush off.
I see. Is there any truth in the rumor that Miss Carrington's writing her life story?
None whatever, Mr. Temple. And I told Carl Milbourne that. I don't think he believed me, though. The interview wasn't exactly a pleasant one, I'm afraid. That's why I felt so sorry the next day when I read about the accident. Mm.
What happened when Mrs. Milbourne turned up at the hotel, if she turned up?
Oh, she turned up all right. I was in the cocktail bar having a drink when one of the waiters came up to me.
Excuse me, sir. Are you Mr. Clayton?
That's right.
That's Mrs. Milbourne, sir, in the corner over there.
Oh, thank you. Excuse me, Mrs. Milbourne?
Yes.
Ah, I'm Danny Clayton.
Oh, do sit down. Please.
Thanks. Well, what is it you wanted to see me about, Mrs. Milbourne?
About my husband.
I was very sorry to read about the accident.
My husband isn't dead, Mr. Clayton.
He isn't?
No.
But I read a report on the inquest. He was identified.
Someone was identified, but that wasn't my husband.
It wasn't?
No.
Well, if you say so, Mrs. Milbourne, what can I do for you?
I have a feeling that you might be able to help me. Your boss, Miss Carrington, saw my husband just before...
No, Miss Carrington didn't see him. I interviewed him.
Oh?
Julia, Miss Carrington, that is, told me to tell your husband that she wasn't writing her memoirs. I gave your husband the message and he went away.
Are you sure Miss Carrington didn't see him?
Quite sure. She wouldn't dream of seeing a publisher or a newspaper man.
Oh, I see.
But tell me, what makes you think it wasn't your husband who was killed in that accident?
I've heard from him.
You've heard from him? When?
Several days ago.
What happened? Did he phone you or...
No, there was a message. A note. I found it in a hat he sent me.
In a hat?
Yes.
He sent you a message in a hat?
Yes.
Why on earth should he do that?
Oh, I don't know why I... Oh, Mr. Clayton, do you think I could have a drink? I feel a little faint.
Yes, of course. Waiter!
What can I get for you, sir?
Bring this lady a brandy, please. After she had the brandy, I talked to her for about 10 minutes, but I just couldn't get any sense out of her. She seemed, well, kind of crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Have you any idea what she was talking about? That message in a hat?
Yes, I think I know what she was talking about. She's been very upset since she came back from Switzerland. Her brother's extremely worried about her.
Boy, he's got my sympathy.
Mr. Clayton, Mrs. Milbourne gave me a very different version of her interview with you.
Oh?
She said it was you who told her that her husband was still alive.
What?
She said you showed her some photographs of Carl Milbourne and that you offered the photographs and certain information for the sum of 5,000 pounds.
Oh, that woman really is crazy.
She said you asked her to take the money to the 3-star hotel Bray on Thames.
This is incredible.
Did you go down there this morning?
I certainly did not. I was in my hotel until 11 o'clock.
Really?
You can easily check on that, Mr. Temple, if you want.
Then I take it you've never heard of a man called Peter Fletcher or a houseboat called Peter's Folly.
No, I haven't. Oh. This is only my second visit to London. I know very few people over here. In fact, I wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for you.
Why are you here?
Miss Carrington's received several letters, nasty letters, threatening blackmail, and she wants to talk to you about them, Mr. Temple.
What's in these letters?
I haven't seen them, but I gather they're pretty unpleasant. They certainly frighten poor Julia.
Has she been to the police?
That's the last thing she'd do.
Why?
Well, if she consulted the police, that'd mean the newspapers, the lot.
I see. When are you returning to Geneva?
The day after tomorrow. And I've taken the liberty of making reservations for you and Mrs. Temple.
Well, really, I think you might...
Everything's taken care of. All you've got to do is say the word.
All right, we'll come out with you.
Thanks.
Even if we fly back on the next plane. I've been wanting to have a chat with Miss Carrington anyway. I've heard so much about her recently.
Uh-huh. From whom?
From a friend of mine, a film director called Vince Langham.
Oh, yes, Langham.
I understand you threw him out on his ear.
I wouldn't put it as bluntly as that. He wanted Julia to make a film. He had a novel he was crazy about.
Did you or Miss Carrington read the novel?
I've forgotten what it was.
Oh, it's called Too Young to Die by Richard Randolph.
Oh, no, we didn't read it. Julia's always getting these film propositions, and I always have the difficult job of turning them down. I hope I wasn't too rough on your friend.
Well, Vince has a pretty thick skin.
I guess he has, or he wouldn't be in the film business.
It's true.
Well, I'll give you a call tomorrow morning and let you have the flight details.
Good, thank you. I'll see you out.
It's good of you to call, Morris.
Not at all.
Would you care for a drink?
No, thanks, Margaret. I rarely touch it these days.
When I heard the bell, I thought it was Paul Temple.
Temple?
Well, he phoned this morning and said he wanted to see me.
What about, do you know?
Well, I rather imagine he... Yes, what is it, Mrs. Rhodes?
Mr. Temple is here, madam.
Oh, good. Ask him to come in.
In here, please, Mr. Temple.
Oh, thank you. Oh, good morning, Mrs. Milbourne.
Good morning.
Oh, hello, Lonsdale.
Hello, Temple. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And thank you again for the loan of your car the other evening.
Not at all. I'm glad I was able to help you.
Do sit down, Mr. Temple.
Oh, thank you.
Well, did you see Danny Clayton?
Yes, I did, but not at Bray.
Oh?
He was waiting to see me when I got back to London.
But he said he was going to Bray. He distinctly
Before
told me
Before we go any
he...
further, Mrs. Milbourne, I think I should tell you that Clayton's version of your meeting was quite different from yours.
Different? Well, I don't understand.
Wait a moment, Margaret. Temple, my sister's told me about her meeting with this man Clayton, about the photographs, and about his asking for £5,000. Am I to understand that he denies the story?
Clayton says he saw your sister at her own request. He claims to have made no demands whatsoever, and says he knows nothing about the photographs.
But that's not true!
Look, Temple, I know my sister's been upset, perhaps even a little unbalanced at times, but she wouldn't deliberately invent a story like that.
People do strange things when they're under an emotional strain.
Well, maybe, but surely...
If there's anything in your story that you want to retract, Mrs. Milbourne, I shall quite understand.
I don't wish to retract a single word of it.
Very well. I'll get in touch with you the moment we get back from Switzerland.
Then you've definitely decided to help me.
Yes, my wife and I are leaving for Geneva tomorrow morning. We're travelling with Mr. Clayton.
With Clayton?
Mm-hmm. His story is that he came to see me on behalf of Julia Carrington. Apparently she's in trouble and wants to consult me.
Yes, but the hat was sent from St. Moritz, Mr. Temple,
not
Geneva.
We'll go on to St. Moritz later. Now, don't worry. The moment there's any news, I'll get in touch with you.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, have you a photograph of your husband you can let me have? A fairly recent one, if possible.
Yes, of course.
Have you met Julia Carrington before, Temple?
No, I haven't. I'm told she's a very difficult person to contact.
Oh?
A film director friend of mine tried to get in touch with her a little while ago, but failed. He wanted to interest her in a novel. A book called Too Young to Die.
I seem to know that title.
I expect your husband mentioned it. Milbourne House is going to publish it.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. Too Young to Die by... Now, what was the author's name?
Richard Randolph.
Oh, yes, of course. Randolph? But that was the name on the note that Carl sent.
Yes.
Is that a coincidence, Temple?
That's one of the things I want to find out. Mrs. Milbourne, do you think you could get me a copy of the book?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. I'll have a word with Norman Wallace.
Norman Wallace?
He's the fiction editor at Milbourne House.
Is he the man who used to work for the International Press?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I've known him for years. I'll drop in on him this afternoon. Now, if you could let me have that photograph, Mrs. Milbourne.
Well, what can I do for you? I hope this visit means you've decided to get yourself a real publisher at last.
Come off it, Norman. You know I can't leave Radley and Company after all these years.
No, I suppose not. But I always hoped Carl might have talked you into signing up with us.
I was very sorry to hear about Carl Milbourne.
Yes, it'll take us years to get over it. Carl and I were just forming a bunch of really promising new writers.
You mean people like Richard Randolph?
Yes, Randolph and one or two others.
I saw something about Randolph in Books for All.
Oh?
It said his first novel was due out shortly, and you had very high hopes of it.
Ah, we have. Too Young to Die was Carr's discovery. He had great hopes of it.
Ah. You don't happen to have a spare copy by any chance. I'd rather like to read it.
Yes, yes, of course.
Oh, good.
Here we are. Too Young to Die by Richard Randolph.
Oh, thanks.
I'd be interested to know what you think of it, Temple. And if you should feel inclined to say something nice about it, preferably in print, of course.
Norman, you never give up. By the way, how many people have had advanced copies of the book, do you know?
No, not quite as many as usual. We're being a bit cagey over this particular book. But I've got a list here if you're interested.
Mm, I'm very interested.
Let's see. Yes, here we are. Here's the list.
Thank you.
Apart from the usual critics and magazines, there are only two or three people outside the business.
You didn't send a copy to an artist called Peter Fletcher?
Peter Fletcher? No. But that name seems to ring a bell. Of course. The houseboat murder. Are you investigating the case?
No, but it might be connected to something else I'm investigating at the moment.
I see.
Norman, tell me, is it true Vince Langham's interested in Too Young to Die in the film rights, I mean?
Yes, it is. Oh, which reminds me, he's not on that list I gave you. He phoned me and asked for a copy of the book, and I sent it round to his flat.
Hmm. When did you send it?
Yesterday, I think.
Did he say how he'd come to hear of the book?
No, he didn't. But Vince Langham's one of the top directors in this country. He's got his ear to the ground so far as anything new is concerned. Incidentally, he's quite a good writer himself, you know.
Yes, so I understand.
Ah, here's the coffee.
Ah.
I hope it's hot, Edith.
Yes, it is, Mr. Horace.
Oh, that'll be a nice change.
It's a shame.
Paul! Paul, over here.
Oh, hello, Prince.
Well, I didn't know you frequented this den of iniquity.
Yes.
Well, what'll it be?
I'll have a dry martini, please.
Two dry martinis, Fred.
Let's sit over there, Vince. In the corner. Well, let's go on.
Cheers.
Have you finished the film?
Well, we're off the floor, if that's what you mean.
What happens now? Do you fly off to Jamaica with some glamorous blonde or other?
Me with my tax troubles? Are you kidding? The furthest I'll get is Geneva, and that's strictly business.
Oh, what are you going to Geneva for?
I'm going to have another shot at talking Julia Carrington into doing that film I was telling you about.
Too Young to Die?
Yes. I've just read the book again.
The typescript?
No, the book. I got an advance copy from the publishers. Oh. Yeah, it's an absolute cinch for Julia. She couldn't go wrong in the part.
But I thought she'd turned it down.
Well, I never talked to her personally. I only saw that little creep who calls himself her confidential secretary.
Vince, tell me, have you ever come across the man who wrote Too Young to Die?
Richard Randolph?
Hmm.
No, I haven't. I tried to get in touch with him. I wanted him to do a screenplay for me, but I just couldn't find him. Do you know him?
No, I don't, but I'm interested in him.
Oh, why?
For a variety of reasons.
Such as?
Well, I'm interested in him because there was a copy of his book on Peter Fletcher's houseboat.
Peter Fletcher, the artist?
That's right, the man who was murdered. The man who used to work for you, Vince.
How did you know he worked for me?
I looked him up in Who's Who. It said he designed several sets for you.
Yes, he did. He was a very good designer. Then he suddenly decided to quit films and concentrate on pure art, as he called it.
Did you like him?
No, I didn't. I thought he was a brilliant designer, but a conceited so-and-so. He knew the lot. I once had a flaming row with him.
Yes, I know.
Oh? Well, that wasn't in Who's Who.
No.
Who told you about it? One of my friends.
That's right.
You say Fletcher had a copy of the book, and it was on the houseboat.
Yes.
But the book isn't out yet. How did he get hold of a copy?
I don't know, Vince. I just don't know. Oh, hello, Steve. I've been worried about you, darling. Where on earth have you been?
Well, that's nice, I must say.
Hmm?
And you call yourself a detective?
What? Oh, I'm sorry, dear. Your hair looks marvellous.
Thank you. It took ages. I thought I was never going to get away. What have you been doing?
I've been reading this.
Oh, Too young to die. What did you think of it?
I can understand what Vince means when he says it's a superb vehicle for Julia Carrington. She couldn't go wrong with it. Turn off the radio, don't you?
Yes, sir. Talking of Julia Carrington, I doubt if we shall get to Geneva tomorrow. It's terribly foggy. It's taken me 45 minutes to get from Hyde Park Corner.
Oh, Lord.
And the forecast isn't too good either. Fog's predicted again for tomorrow.
Well, we'll just have to keep our fingers crossed.
You haven't heard from Mr. Clayton, I take it?
No, I haven't. All right, darling, I'll take it. Hello?
Paul, this is Vince.
Oh, hello, Vince.
Am I disturbing your dinner?
No, not at all.
Look, I'm back at the flat and the most extraordinary thing has happened.
Oh, what has?
Well, you remember I told you I had a copy of that novel, an advance copy?
Yes.
Well, something's happened to it. It was in the top drawer of my desk, but it's not there now.
You mean someone's taken it?
Well, it's not there. It's vanished.
You're sure it was in the desk?
Yes, I'm quite sure. I distinctly remember putting it there. It's a damn nuisance because I wanted to take it out to Switzerland with me.
Yeah. Well, if you ring Norman Wallace, he'll probably let you have another copy.
Yes, I suppose I could do that. Makes me look a bit of a fool, though.
No nonsense.
Anyway, thanks for the suggestion. Goodbye, then.
Goodbye.
What was all that about?
Vince Langham had a copy of Too Young to Die and somebody's taken it. At least, he says they have.
Is that all you rang up about?
Mm-hmm, that's all.
Paul, what is it?
I was thinking about that book. I'm wondering if that was the one on the houseboat.
Oh, there you are, Mrs. Temple.
Hello.
Oh, gee, what a terrible day.
Isn't it? I hate fog. Have you been on to the airport?
Yes, but no luck, I'm afraid. They seem to think it might last for days.
Oh, dear.
Hello, Clayton.
Oh, hello.
Well, how'd you like our London fog?
You can keep it.
I've just been using a little influence with an old friend of mine. I've got three sleepers on the 2:30 train from Victoria.
Oh,
we get
clever.
To Geneva tomorrow morning about 8:30.
Ah, oh, I never thought of the train. That's great.
My friend's sending the tickets round by hand. I told him we'd be in the dining room. Do you feel like a drink before lunch, Steve?
I certainly do, darling. It's so depressing this fall.
Oh, me too, Steve. May I call you Steve, Mrs. Temple?
Yes, of course, Mr. Clayton.
Oh, no, you must call me Danny.
Did you manage to get a cabin, Paul?
Yes, cabin B.
This is the part I'm not looking forward to, Steve.
Why, aren't you a very good sailor, Mr. Danny?
I'll be okay, I hope.
It only takes about an hour and a half, as a rule.
I guess I can hold out that long.
Hello, Mr. Temple. Hi. Nice to see you again, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Temple.
Good afternoon.
Have you a cabin, sir?
Yes, cabin B.
So, right, this way, sir.
Is it going to be a smooth crossing?
Well... Yes, I think so, Mrs. Temple.
You don't sound too sure.
Where have you been, Paul?
On the top deck. It's quite a breeze now. Most of the fog's disappeared.
Oh, good.
Why don't you both come for a stroll?
Well, I'm pretty comfortable lying down like this. I guess I'll stay this way if you don't mind.
All right. How about you, Steve?
Yes, I'd like a stroll. Will you be all right, Danny?
Sure. You two go ahead.
But we shan't be long.
Enjoy yourselves, if you can.
Ooh, it's pretty choppy.
Yes. I hope Clayton's all right.
Well, if he isn't, he'll want to be left alone.
Yes. Do you feel okay, Steve?
I think so.
Do you want to go back to the cabin?
No, but I think I'd like a drink, a brandy perhaps.
Yeah, good idea. The bar's down this way.
Oops, oh dear, it certainly is rolling.
Yeah, hold on to my arm.
Paul,
Do
you see that man going down the companionway?
No.
I could have sworn it was Lonsdale.
Morris Lonsdale?
Yes.
Well, let's go down and have a look. We can get to the bar that way. Well, there's no sign of Lonsdale, Steve.
No. I must have been mistaken.
You're not usually mistaken, darling. Your eyesight's pretty good as a rule.
Yes, I know it is, but I must have been wrong. Oh, dear.
bar looks very crowded.
Well, don't worry, we'll find somewhere. Oh, there's your brandy.
Thank you. Whoops. Oh, dear. It's still pretty rough. How long do you think we've got to go?
Oh, only about 25 minutes, that's all.
Paul, there's Danny. He's obviously decided to come down after all.
But Timothy, he doesn't look too good, does he? He looks as if he's had a scare of some kind.
Hi. There you are.
Is anything wrong?
No, I felt like a breath of fresh air, but when I got on deck, the boat started to roll.
Paul, try and get him a brandy.
Yes, of course. You sit down. I'll be back in a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry, Steve. Making a fool of myself like this.
Oh, I know exactly how you feel. I remember one year when Paul and I went to the States. The boat actually... Oh, yes, well, that's another story.
What happens when we get to Calais?
We just get on the train, that's all. It'll be waiting by the side of the dock.
Oh, will there be time for me to kiss the ground?
I think so.
Oh, this is our train.
How do you feel now, Danny?
I feel much better now I'm off that boat.
Everything's been taken care of, Mr. Temple. The luggage is on the train.
Oh, thank you very much. Here you are, Stuart.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. The attendant's waiting for you.
Here we are, Coach D. This is it.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
May I see your tickets and passport, please?
Certainly.
Merci, merci, monsieur. This way, please. Compartment 19 and 20.
Does he keep the passports?
Yes, we get them back tomorrow morning.
Here we are, sir. Double compartment 19, single compartment 20. Ah. Dinner will be served in about half an hour, sir. You'll hear the bell.
It's fine. Are there two sittings?
Yes, sir, but the second sitting is already full, I'm afraid.
Oh, there must be a lot of people on this train.
Yes, we are full, sir. Every berth is taken. It is because of the English fog, you understand.
We certainly do understand.
Well, it certainly looks very comfortable. What happens now, Temple? Shall we meet for dinner in about half an hour?
Yes, yes, in about half an hour.
As soon as we're ready, Danny, we'll knock on your door.
Fine.
And he still looks a little shaken.
Yes, he does. And I'm not so sure it was the crossing either, Steve.
What do you mean?
You know when we were getting off the boat and I went back to the cabin?
Yes, you said you'd left your gloves behind.
I hadn't. I wanted to have a word with the steward.
Why?
I wanted to find out if anyone had visited Danny while we were taking our stroll.
Well?
The steward said he hadn't seen anyone. But just as I was leaving the cabin, I spotted a piece of paper in the waste paper basket. It was a note. Someone had obviously sent it to Clayton and he'd thrown it away.
What did the note say?
Well, read it for yourself.
Written in block capitals. Be careful. You're too young to die, Mr. Clayton.
In the third episode of Paul Temple and the Geneva Mystery, Paul Temple was played by Peter Cook and Steve by Marjorie Westbury. Production for the BBC was by Martin C. Webster.